Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If I came this
So welcome to this. This is like a little, is it a non-amendum yesterday's podcast? I thought I'd quickly do this. I'm sitting in my car in the rain. It's like one of those YouTube videos where someone's like sort of talking to their phone. I actually haven't got a phone, so I actually do have a phone. I think I always tell people that I have a phone, and then the last two podcasts the voice ended with my phone ringing. But I do have a phone. I have to have a phone when I'm on tour. But I've got a dumb phone, so it's like one of those cat phones that's like waterproof. But so yesterday in the podcast I kind of mentioned this thing that it was a very fleeting comment about the Italians revising their COVID death numbers, and I had an email like very very quickly afterwards from someone. I'll just read it. I won't say who it's from, it's appreciated, the email, but it's just kind of something worth talking about. So it's like, here is a link that debunks the claim that Italy changed its COVID numbers, and there's a link to factcheck.com. I was talking to my wife over coffee, and I thought to mention your claim that Italy changed its COVID-19 numbers, but then thought to check before I brought it up in casual conversation, and to my surprise, it was inaccurate. It's funny how this information can spread from Instagram to you, to me, through podcasts, and then on to my wife at a coffee shop. Love everything you do. Cheers. So that's it's quite an interesting thing just to mention. I think I've said in like a previous podcast, like I try not to really mention COVID. I'll talk about all sorts of things, but I try not to mention COVID. I spend so much time now standing on stage talking, and I'm talking to a lot more people. I can no longer remember like what I have actually said on my podcast and what I've actually just said to somebody else. So a little bit of background. Forgive me if I already told this story, but in 2019, in November 2019, I went to the Krakow Film Festival in Poland, and at the same event there was like all the downstairs of this sort of big massive theatre was like just rammed full of Polish soldiers, and there was like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Polish, if not 1,000 Polish soldiers down there, and upstairs was the film festival. And at that film festival everyone got ill, basically. Like, you know, you went into the green room and I would say like a third of the people were ill with this flu. Like literally you know, we'd basically, we all had the flu. We were only there for 3 days. We all got the flu in those 3 days. And I didn't really think anything about it. I did kind of think that's kind of odd. Like, we've all got, like, you know, like I woke up in the morning on the second day and I had this intense pain, like, in my scalp. And I thought, that's kind of a bit weird. And anyway, then I just gradually just felt like shit, basically. And then I kind of, my voice went very croaky. So that was when I first started doing podcasts. So all my first, like, month of podcasts, I've got this, like, really croaky voice. And anyway, then I went over to the UK from Poland, and then my mum got really ill, and then Vanessa got really ill, and my mum ended up being in bed for, like, a whole week and stuff. And anyway, but, like, recently there was a report that they think that the virus of unknown origin was spread via the Olympic, like, military Olympic Games, which took place in Wuhan, where loads of armies from around the world were, like, invited to participate. And Poland was at that Games, and Poland apparently did very, very well. Like, I've got a news article somewhere about Poland doing really well in the Olympic Games. So, it's kind of amateurish sleuth. Anyway, potentially that could kind of explain why maybe I've not had the virus of unknown origin since. So, but anyway, that's just, like, an aside, really. So sharing this link, like most people, I have been very interested in, you know, like trying to understand what the hell is going on, because it has, like, a big, you know, like, so, I think Mark Rippetoe was saying, someone was saying, why don't you stick to talking about weightlifting? And he said, you know, that basically, you know, he has no interest in politics, but politics has interest in him, and politics has come and basically fucked his life up, so he's going to start talking about it. And, but I don't really want to, like I said before, I always feel like people who are listening to this are kind of my friends in a way, and I don't, it's kind of different if you're on social media, because they're not necessarily your friends. They're probably more likely not to be your friends. So, but with a podcast, it's kind of different. Like, you're inviting me into your brain in a very sort of different way. And I just find it kind of a bit unpleasant, all that kind of stuff, talking about it. And it's kind of a bit upsetting, and it's very, and the reason, one reason it is upsetting is it's basically now become like an issue of faith, really. It's not an issue of logic or trying to understand or trying to balance, you know, what we don't know with what we do know, which, like, what we do know is actually quite small, but what we don't know is very large. Is it subjection? Anyway. I just try and stay away from it, but I do kind of, it does kind of consume quite a large part of my day, you know, like, listening to things, reading things, and just trying to, you know, trying to understand what the hell's going on. Mainly not in order to go around telling people, you know, what I think and what I, but it's mainly as a survival. Like, I have to try and, you know, I'm on tour, I'm driving around the country, I'm, like, standing in front of, like, thousands of people, I'm interacting with, like, you know, hundreds of people, you know, as in, you know, meeting people, being in venues, going to, having to get food from places, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's kind of in my interest in terms of survival to try and understand what's going on. Like, a few things I kind of notice is, you could strip it back and make it not about COVID. You could say, me saying that the Italians have revised their figures down, instead of 130,000 people who've died of COVID, I think it's less than 4,000 people have died of COVID. So if that's false or fake news, what is the consequences? I guess the consequences of that being true. The consequence of people believing it's true, What is it? I think it would mean that people would maybe be less afraid. Maybe people would be, you know, like when you walk past people in the street and they're old people and actually fucking terrified and they think that you're gonna stab them in the face or something. Like, maybe that might. I don't think it would by now, because I think it's sort of ingrained in people, that fear. I think, you know, maybe that would alleviate some of the fear from people. So, if that is the case, I would flip it back. I would say, well, isn't that what masks do as well? Like, masks are really a placebo. Like, someone wearing a buff or something is not going to do anything, you know. Like, I was given a proper medical grade mask by a theatre. You know, it's not an N1, but it's basically what you would wear if you were, you know, if you were in somewhere where there was an Ebola virus. And I'll tell you, like, you cannot fucking breathe through this thing. It's like someone holding their hand in front of your mouth. Like, it's really, really a really horrible kind of experience to wear it. Like, I just could not wear it. So I just replaced it with one of those ones you get from Tesco's, which really is not kind of, you know, if you, and again, like, this is we're getting to articles of faith here, and this is why I don't get into it, because people will be like, oh no, they do something, but really, they do something, but, you know, so would, like, putting a sock in your mouth. Like, it doesn't really do anything. You know, but it basically, it's designed to try and, it's like Dumbo with his feather. You know, he would put a feather in his trunk because he thought he could fly with the feather, but really it wasn't the feather. It was Dumbo, because his flag had massive fucking ears. So the, you know, you could say that, you know, so if you did a fact check of how, if masks were effective. And I'm talking about the masks that nearly everybody's wearing, which are these ones which cost, like, almost nothing. You just get from the supermarket. The fact checker would, I would think it'd be very hard if the fact checker was to look at 40 years of data. You know, The Lancet recently came out and basically said the same thing. You know, you've got 40 years of data saying they don't work, they're not effective, and you would then have the one study that came out during COVID say they have some effect, but it's, you know, so I'm saying that if you're going to start doing the war of fact checking, I think you have to be very, very careful, because I think very, very quickly what you feel is like dogma, you know, what you feel is like the truth, will, like, rapidly kind of unravel. And the nature of fact checking, like, I read a lot of fact checking things, and I generally find in many cases the fact checker actually does the job of convincing you, like, if you, because I think most people, they'll go to a fact check site, they'll type in the thing, or they'll click on the link, and they'll read the title, they'll see it says this is false, and they may read, like, the headline, or the, you know, like, one paragraph, and they will not read any further down. But generally, if you read further down, you get into these kind of you know, it's often the devil's in the detail. So the fact check I read on this, because this wasn't something I just saw on Instagram. Like, I don't go on Instagram. It wasn't something I saw on Twitter or Facebook, because I don't go on those either. It was something where I read it. I don't know what the source was, but it was actually a source I would trust. And so I did, you know, search Google for it. And as usual, you will not find a reference in, like, The Guardian or The Telegraph or on the BBC or whatever, because it's a little bit like, you know, like, Sweden, Finland, Iceland have stopped giving the Moderna vaccine, and then maybe they've also, maybe some others, like the Johnson & Johnson, because they think they're, you know, potentially dangerous. And but you won't see those kind of news things on the BBC, or, you know, maybe they're there, but it's very hard to try and get to find those kind of, that bit of information which is genuine news. So recently, when there was a BBC radio presenter died of some kind of thrombosis from having the vaccine, and it popped up on my wife's Facebook, and she said, have you seen this? And immediately it was like, this is fake news, this is not true, you know, and anyone who shares this is a far right, you know, fascist, whatever. But anyway, then it turns out it is true. You know, is you know you will you'll find there's an article somewhere on the BBC. It's quite hard not to bring it up. You know, when it's like one of your you know presenters has died. It's not to say that the vaccine is dangerous. Like all vaccine, like I've had, you know, the rabies vaccine, yellow fever. I've had like every vaccine that's going. And I always knew that when I was taking vaccines, like Noah's having all these vaccines at the moment, he's having a vaccine like tomorrow. You always knew there's kind of a slight risk that something will go awry. Like when I had all my vaccines going to Africa, like I've realised that when I was looking at my photographs, I always look really knackered afterwards. Like I'm always just like yawning and laying down. I was like, I wonder if it was, did I pick something up and it was Africa or was it the vaccines? But it doesn't really matter because it's you've had them and you did them for a reason. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. So people dying of having a, you know, a COVID vaccine it doesn't really interest me that much because that's kind of what happens. Like people die from taking the contraceptive pill or, you know, there's all these cases. But what does concern me is when people aren't allowed to discuss it, or when they do discuss it, they're told to shut up and they're a Nazi or something, because that is kind of how these things unravel. Because people start losing trust. And I think there's never been less trust than there is now in things we read and things we, you know. And I think you do have this thing where the people we once trusted are now just telling the noble lie. You know, we've invested so much in things we knew weren't true that we have to protect ourselves by not allowing people to find out it wasn't true. And you know, maybe people just forget, because most things just go down the memory hole. Like the you know, if you look at the data, the vaccine, you know, like a lot of people are saying, I'm not coming to your tour because I have to have my booster. And you know, those people will then tell you that the vaccine they had was 100% effective. You know, I'm like, well, it's not 100% effective. It lasts about three to four months, and then it's no longer effective. And when you have it, you can give COVID to people, and you can get COVID, and you can die. And so, you know, how effective is it? You know, like it's a bit like the masks. It's designed as a way of trying to, like, we've done the most incredible job of like terrifying people out of their minds. And I would say that the vaccine is primarily designed to, you know, to sort of undo some of that damage, but it isn't very effective. You know, that kind of undermines like the trust in the vaccine, but also undermines the trust in the, you know, the health system and everything else. And so this 97% reduction in the COVID deaths. So in like maybe you know maybe I didn't read it. Maybe I need to go back and read it again. But in my mind, it was basically saying of 130,000 people who died of COVID in Italy, only about 4,000 people died of COVID. They were healthy, whatever age people died of COVID. And the rest of them had like comorbidities, you know, which obesity, dementia, you know, lots of, you know, but generally more than two comorbidities, and you know, COVID kind of accelerated or caused them to die and things. So, like I think in Ireland, it was something like 98% of people who died of COVID never even went to the hospital, you know, because they were so old, they just died in old people's homes or died at home and things. And in Ireland, I think the actual excess deaths were either the same or down. So nobody basically died. You know, there was not excess deaths of people dying in Ireland anyway. I think it's probably the same in most countries. And but you know, if I think about it, you know, you've had 2 years of a pandemic that was supposed to be the most serious, you know, health threat to mankind. And I don't know anyone who died from COVID. I know people got ill from COVID, and you know, people had long COVID and all that kind of stuff. But I know at least five people who died because of the lockdown. People didn't have cancer treatment. People who just died of despair. I would say they just whizzled away and just died. And And I think if you were to have seen, like, you know, dumper trucks going around picking up dead bodies and putting them into plague pits, then I think you can send me sort of fact checks and tell me that I'm wrong. And I would say, like, in my adult life, I know two completely fit, healthy, you know, super fit people who almost died of pneumonia. Three people almost died of pneumonia, ended up in hospital, ended up having, long-term post-viral problems, you know, to this day. And I also know the people who had, like, post-viral, chronic fatigues that, you know, hung around for years and years and years afterwards, and, it took a long time for their lives to come back and stuff. I think the COVID is a separate issue. I think all that will eventually be talked about, because I think it will just go down the memory hole and we'll all just forget. But, you know, we'll just focus on all the damage. There's a lot of money to be made from the damage. You know, there's a lot of, like, counselling and, you know, kids with germophobia and, you know, a lack of being able to communicate and understand how people's, you know, just like the damage is incalculable, like what the damage we've done to especially young people, but especially old people as well. But I think for me, the main thing is the damage to our ability to, and I saw something recently where someone was saying that we should give vapes on the NHS, like on prescription, for people who can't give up smoking. Now, if you can't buy a vape, and you have to get the NHS to give you one and probably supply you with stuff, like, you're fucked, basically. You know, you were never going to give up smoking. You know, it's just like an indication of where we're at, really. And I don't want to go too far down that, you know, because it's not really a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit warren. You know, and it's not about, when I was on social media, it'd be like, oh, you sound like you think you know more than everybody else. And it's not about knowing more than everybody else, but it's knowing fucking something, you know, that other people just don't. I think it's not that they don't know it. They just don't want to know it. They don't want to, you know, oh, just why do you have to talk about that all the time? Like, why can't you talk about something else? You know, it'd be like living in America and saying, you know, when you had slavery and, like, oh no, it's so terrible. Oh, why do you have to keep talking about slaves all the time? Like, oh God, they all live down there. Like, they love it, you know. So there is that kind of element of just, you know, covering your eyes, covering your ears, covering your mouth, and just, because it is kind of depressing. But it is kind of important. It's important to try and understand. But it's also important to keep running your validation program in your, to try and understand, am I going down a rabbit hole? Like, is this, you know, is, you know, if you think about it, could it, you know, if I think about, like, my whole, every winter for the last 20 years, like, every every country's health system is basically at breaking point, and there's alarms going off, and it's, you know, people are piling up in the corridors, and, you know, has this kind of been that, you know, I'm not saying that this is not, like, again, this is the tax I have to pay, you know. Oh, Christ, I'm ringing your goddamn phone. Leave me alone. This is, you know, like, that's the how do you turn a phone off? Leave me alone. I'm trying to have a deep. Anyway, so that's the kind of tax you have to pay. This is an example of the tax. You have to say, yes, COVID is a serious, you know, thing, and it's very dangerous. Blah 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 blah. But I don't like paying taxes like that. So we'll just take that as read. But you can see this in a lot of things in your life. You know, like we put a lot of trust into people about our education, our, you know, like how we, you know, we just in so many things. And I think, I think it's about maybe trying to take ownership of trying to understand what's really going on, and trying to, be wary of what you know, both what you hear that sounds like it's true, and also what you hear that sounds like it's false. You can swap like one kind of ignorance for another kind. So really, you have to try and sort of, stay in the middle. But fundamentally, it's always good to ask the question, why do I feel upset or offended at this person saying this? Is that because you don't want me to be the kind of person, who you trust, who is not going to say, masks are 100% ineffective? Like, I'm not going to say that because they're not 100% ineffective. Or to say that we should keep burning coal for the rest of our lives and, destroy the planet. Like, I'm not saying that either, but you have to find some kind of, some point where you can see both sides and not just one side. Because what's that thing? Like, if you only understand one side, you don't really understand anything, really. But I think there was this thing that we're living in the Great Awakening, in a way, and that, like, I think more and more people are slowly realizing that their sort of trust mechanisms and the media they consume has not been serving them well, probably all their lives, and their political parties, the idea of like left and right and Labour, Conservative, or Democrats and Republicans, like, it's not serving them really. It's serving other people very well, but not them. And so that's kind of interesting. When people started reading, when people stopped listening to the priests, sort of telling them, who could read Latin, reading from the Bible and telling them what to think. When people started reading for themselves, that was like one of the greatest, manumission. People had, a lot more freedom and to try and understand what was going on, and that must have, had a huge effect on people being less ignorant. People like being ignorant. It's a good excuse. Like, oh, no one told me. They lied to me. It's like, the priest. He took my son off camping. And he came back. He was always very quiet. But no one told me the priest was a paedophile. So it's a little bit like it's So anyway, so I thought I'd like add this. It's not like an amendment. I'll go and I'm just going somewhere to have a cup of coffee. I'll go and reread the fact check, and maybe I'm wrong, but my instincts say that that's not wrong. My instinct is, you build these like mobile hospitals all over the world in the summertime to deal with this, the end of civilization. And then before the winter comes along, you dismantle them all again, when you know that's when COVID's going to be its worst. But we couldn't train enough nurses. And yes, you could train people to build Spitfires and atomic weapons in very quickly. You can do it. Don't believe everything I say. Don't believe anything I say. I don't believe 50% of what I say, and I don't believe 50% of what I think. Maybe more than that. But also maybe don't throw me under the bus straight away. Because I think, I'm not a conspiracy theorist and everything else, but I do believe in how cowardly and incompetent, institutions are, and I've sort of witnessed it all my life, and how corrupt they can become, in a very, they're all kind of very human traits, like corruption and not wanting to upset anybody, and wanting to think about your career over everything else, and wanting to fit in. Like, most people are cowards. I'm a coward as well. Most people are, they just want to, that's why people believe in God and that kind of thing. It's good. You can blame the gods for all your fucking troubles when they're all your fault generally. I shall leave it there. Quick amendum. Sorry, there's no climbing related thing, but it was kind of sticking in my head because I don't like people to think I'm Alex Jones or whatever. Although Alex Jones, if you ever listen to him, like a lot of the stuff he says is true. So yeah, heretics. I am a heretic. You know, I am a dissident. Because the thing when I was young, like being counterculture and being rebellious was seen as being cool, but now it's being rebellious and counterculture is being like Disneyfied. So all these people who think they're being, you know, rebellious and dissident ideas, they're not. They're just uniform and mainstream and everything else. And you know, so the real, you know, it's harder. It's never been as so hard to be a, you know, to have views which are opposed to everybody else's. Like people literally, you can feel like they want to spit in your face. You know what I mean? So, you know, because people are afraid of being, like, contaminated by, you know, your view. So, but again, that's a very understandable thing. You know, everyone wants to fit in. So, anyway, so that's it. I do apologise. I promise my next podcast will be light and airy, and it'll be about bunnies or something, or some climbing bunnies, and it'll be business as usual. We will never talk about this subject ever again. But if you want to send me an email, tell me that I'm wrong or whatever, I shall respond. And I responded to that, to this, and I appreciate you. And I'm not slagging you off for sending me that email. Like I appreciate it. But it's just, it's like an act of love. You know what I mean? It's an act of kindness to send that email. It's not an act of correction. It's, you may not realize this, but this is not true. Which is an act of love. It's not, you know, shut up, you're a fucking idiot. Which again is an act of love, because it's like, you know, the more extreme people's response, you know, it's generally from people who care. You know, so the people who hate you the most, the people who love you the most, in a way. But you just let them down, and that again, that will be the outcome of all this, because, you know, to go against the tribe, you know, to be betrayed by your tribe or by the people you trust is way worse than being betrayed by people who are your enemies, you know, in various forms. So it'll just end up with an even greater fragmentation of reality and well, it's not reality, it's just of unreality. You know, people will be like, shit, I'm gonna have to start paying more attention to what's going on in the world, because these people are telling me that, you know, that this is rubbish, but then, you know, it turns out to be not rubbish, you know. So, yeah, for just saying that COVID, you know, came from a laboratory, if I'd said that, you know, like a year ago, this podcast could be taken down if it was on YouTube. But now it looks like it did. So, you know, who watches The Watchmen? That's why I was thinking. Book's much better than the film, though. Okay, goodbye. Until next time, I shall reply to my wife on the phone. Okay, bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.